Yes, what we need is more government in charge. If only there was more government, more handling of everything we did, it would be a better world we lived in. That's right, if they could just take care of everything. I mean, clearly they're taking care of our schools and children's virtual learning sessions that are just tremendous, right? My child says she hates it. Can't stand it. It's not very good interaction with the teachers, and I haven't heard from them at all. I thought I was unique until I read a column by Julie Gundlach who said everything I was thinking and put it into writing. Good for her. Julie Gundlach, director of the Independent Women's Forum Center for Progress and Innovation. Julie, welcome back.
I'm glad to be on. Thanks.
I'll even say what a schmuck I was. you wrote that in your column, but you said you truly believe that after the initial bumpy start, the school's leadership and certainly the superintendent would seek out parent input to better understand the concerns with online learning and to create a better, more user-friendly system for kids. Well, it didn't happen for me, and apparently it didn't happen for you, and we're hundreds of miles apart. Must be happening right all over the place.
Right. I really think that I have, my brain doesn't work. The idea that I even thought that, I mean, what is wrong with me? I continue to be naive. I continue to sort of have faith in people and think, okay, they're going to care about these kids, and they're going to actually talk to parents who, after all, were sitting with their kids during the spring session. You know, like most people, the school shut down in March.
Right.
And it was, you know, to use a more PG word, it did not go well. And so I thought, okay, well, you know, if they continue to be closed in the fall, my goodness, you know, they're going to have all these lessons learned, best practices. You know, they're going to know what works and what doesn't. And they're certainly going to try to integrate parents more into these decisions. Well, the entire summer went by, and there was, you know, these sort of, like, pretend lists, like Zoom calls with parents where, you know, parents couldn't actually ask live questions. You know, there was, like, you know, four questions were answered. It was only an hour. You know,
I didn't even get that. We didn't even get that here.
Yeah.
We got some surveys, and we answered the surveys about whether or not you wanted to go back to school. Yes, in capital bold letters. Do you have a computer at home? Yeah, but it's mine, and I pay a lot of money for that school building over there and all those teachers that, by the way, are getting hazard pay for not going into the classroom.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in your state, but in Michigan they got frontline hazard pay to the teachers, $50 million worth. They're not in the classroom. What hazard pay? Anyhow, it's a complaint for another day.
It's unbelievable. On Mondays, our kids are not in schools on Monday. Like, there's nothing going on Mondays. The teachers, and they call it asynchronous learning, okay? So they give it some consultancy kind of word, right? And I'm like, wait a minute, my kids never had Monday off before, okay? Why in the world are the kids, and they call it like a catch-up day. And I'm like, okay, that's called homework after school. Like, it's so weird, right? But the bottom line is, we have surveys too, and they ignored the surveys. Because, you know, it's all awful. Decided.
Yeah, my daughter says it's awful here because I ask her all the time, how do you like it? She goes, I can't stand it. Why? Well, because they send you the assignments, and then they tell you afterwards how the assignments are supposed to be done. She goes, everything is completely backwards of how it's supposed to be. Plus, there's no real access to the teachers. Plus, it's just very disjointed and goofy. And you would think with all the money and time and resources that they had, and like you said, not only from March, but then the entire summer to come up with a plan, and this is what you did? This is it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's so hard for me right now because, see, there's so much to talk about, and I feel like I could be on the show for like 3 hours and I wouldn't even scratch the surface. But the other thing is don't forget, you know, on average, you know, schools now get $15,000 per student. In my particular district, it's $17,000 per student for special needs kids. And I do. I have an older child. My oldest child has ADHD, like many, many kids. And so he's considered special needs, okay? And he does. He needs some special accommodations. And he gets $33,000 for him, okay? And they are not doing anything to accommodate the special needs students. They're not having in-person. They're not doing any kind of, like, special Zooms with them. No, they just get thrown in the classroom with the other virtual classroom with the other kids. I want to say one other. So, it's really awful. You mentioned the funding. It's really awful considering the amount of money. And then these teachers aren't actually physically in the classroom. They're Zooming from home.
That's right.
And I think a lot of teachers are really working hard. This is the leadership. This is the unions. This is superintendents that are making these decisions. And it's rotten for the kids. It's rotten for the kids. And they continue down this path. And what's so galling for parents is then they put out these newsletters. You know, my school certainly does. And it's like, everything's going great. Everything's wonderful, you know. And again, not really taking in information from parents, not asking how kids are doing.
You know, if we had that three-hour conversation, Julie, I think that I would prefer you had a scotch before we got started.
Well,
the reason being is I think you would be, all of those leashes and all of those guidelines, they'd be gone. And we'd have a real conversation, and we'd have to do it on podcast because the words that would flow at that point might be a little bit too colorful for the radio or for the television, and I appreciate that. But let's be honest. The complaints that you have and that I have are all across this country, and I believe, and I have believed, and I've said for a very long time, that these continued lockdowns and schools not being open and college football stadiums being empty, these things all hurt Democrats. I mean, in Detroit, the union in Detroit, the teachers are saying they don't think it's going to be safe to go back to school next year either.
Oh, exactly. This isn't safe. But this is the most important thing. This has opened up what the school unions and what public schools have done to our kids and just how rotten it is. And let me tell you, Steve, I know we're running out of time. Because of this COVID shutdown, because of this entire episode and how they've ignored, I have pulled two of my three children out of my local public schools, and I will be pulling the third out next year. And I will tell you, one of my children is going to an online Catholic school, and it is brilliant. It is wonderful. Those teachers are never not with those kids. They work through worksheets together, paper worksheets. They do a lot of stuff online.
Funny you should mention that. I have a child in the Catholic school as well.
It can work, and the public schools are very rotten at it because they are inflexible. They will not, and they do everything at the behest of the union.
Yeah. I got to leave it there, Julie, but I will say this. I have a child in the Catholic school. They did a phenomenal job communicating with us all summer. Everything was there, everything we needed to know, talking to us, checking with us, working with us. Yep. The public schools, nothing.
Joke.
The scotch will be on me. Julie Cudlock. Director of the Independent Women's Forum, Center for Progress and Innovation. Good conversation. Julie, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Back after this.